Is all knowledge already out there, waiting to be discovered? Let's double-click on that. Hey, it's Mark, and welcome to a double-click episode of the Knowledge Force Hypothesis. In these shorter episodes, we zoom in on one idea, term, or thinker that underpins the larger thought experiment. Today, we're double-clicking on something deceptively simple, yet incredibly deep. What if all knowledge already exists, and we're just discovering it? This idea, known as the discovery thesis, is not science fiction. It has deep roots in philosophy. Plato, the Greek philosopher, believed that knowledge exists beyond time, in what he called the realm of forms. In this view, learning isn't about creating something new, it's about remembering or uncovering what's already there. Let's unpack that. Think about math. Did we invent the number pi, or did we discover a truth that was already part of the universe? It's a question that still sparks fierce debate. It sounds radical, even mystical, but as said, this is one of the oldest and most enduring debates in philosophy and science. Is knowledge invented by us, or discovered by us? Let's start with the discovery thesis, the idea that knowledge pre-exists us. We don't create truth. We, as humans, reveal it. This idea goes all the way back to the before-mentioned Plato and his theory of forms, the notion that perfect, eternal patterns, like mathematical truths or ethical ideals, exist in a realm beyond time and space. We don't invent the Pythagorean theorem. We rediscover it. And this view has powerful modern echoes, especially in informational realism. This is a philosophical framework that proposes information, not matter, as the fundamental substance of reality. Max Tegmark, a Swedish-American physicist at MIT, proposes that the universe is mathematics. His mathematical universe hypothesis argues that every part of reality, particles, forces, even consciousness, emerges from mathematical structures. In Tegmark's cosmos, we're not inventing math. We're discovering the equations that are reality. Matter, in this view, is a byproduct of information. Luciano Floridi, a philosopher of information and technology at Oxford, takes this further. He introduced this very information realism, the claim that information, not matter, is the most fundamental layer of reality. According to Floridi, to be is to be informationally related. If that's true, the knowledge is not constructed. It's already structured, and we access it through interaction. So information itself, not matter, is the bedrock of reality. What's real is what can be described in relational, informational terms. Not things, but the relationships between things. And then there's the physicist John Archibald Wheeler, the American theoretical physicist who worked with Einstein and who coined the famous phrase, it from bit. For Wheeler, even space and time emerge from yes-no questions, the binary fabric of information. Reality doesn't exist independently of observation. It crystallizes through interaction, a participatory universe. His provocative idea was that every physical thing, every it, ultimately arises from yes-no binary choices, bits. Reality, he argued, isn't passively out there. It crystallizes when observed. This led to his concept of a participatory universe where information is not just a descriptor of reality, but its very source. But not everyone agrees. This isn't a one-sided debate. On the opposite side of information realism, we find the social constructivists who argue that knowledge is not discovered, but is shaped by language, culture, and power. Enter the social constructivists. Thinkers like Lev Vygotsky, David Bloor, and Peter Berger and Thomas Luckman argue that knowledge isn't discovered, it's constructed through language, culture, and shared meaning. In their view, what we call truth is shaped by power, discourse, and historical context. Michel Foucault took this to its sharpest edge. There is no universal knowledge, only regimes of truth. Lev Vygotsky, a Soviet psychologist, developed the concept of the zone of proximal development. He emphasized that knowledge is formed in social contexts through interaction, dialogue, and shared tools. For Vygotsky, thought itself is social before it becomes individual. David Bleuler, a sociologist and philosopher of science, led the Strong Program at Edinburgh in the 1970s. He argued that even hard scientific knowledge is a product of social negotiation, not just empirical evidence. Truth and error, in his view, must be explained by the same social forces. Peter Berger and Thomas Luckman, sociologists of knowledge, published The Social Construction of Reality in 1966. Their theory, reality itself is built through habitual social interactions, then institutionalized and internalized. In other words, what we know depends on how we live together. And Michel Foucault, the French historian philosopher, took it further. For him, knowledge is not neutral. It's shaped by power structures and historical discourses. What counts as truth in any era is less about discovery and more about who controls the narrative. So, who's right? Even within these camps, there are internal debates. For instance, Bernardo Kastrup, a Dutch contemporary philosopher and computer scientist, critiques information realism. He argues it dismisses subjectivity and consciousness, pointing out that information only exists if there's a mind to interpret it. And critics of constructivism, like Larry Lawden, philosopher of science, rejected the idea that science is just a social game. He argued that epistemic values like coherence, explanatory power, and predictive success play a real role in determining which theories survive. Or John Searle, analytic philosopher, similarly challenged constructivism by pointing to brute facts like gravity or volcanic eruptions that exist regardless of human agreement. He distinguished between institutional facts, like money, and objective facts, like death, arguing that only the former are socially constructed. So here we are. On one side, the information realists say, all knowledge is already out there, a deep structure we uncover like archaeologists in the cosmos. On the other, constructivists remind us that knowledge is always filtered through human lenses, messy, social, and full of bias. But maybe the real insight comes not from choosing a side, but from seeing both. Because when AI systems today discover new protein structures or mathematical proofs, the question returns with force. Are we inventing this knowledge, or just uncovering what was always waiting, encoded in the fabric of reality, waiting for the tools to see it? And that brings us back to the knowledge force hypothesis. If knowledge flows through the universe like a current, driving complexity, intelligence, and evolution, then maybe discovery isn't an exception. It's the rule. So where does that leave us? If knowledge pre-exists us, like a landscape waiting to be mapped, then discovery is a process of tuning in, not making up. But if knowledge is constructed, shaped by our cultures, tools, and agreements, then truth is not simply uncovered. It is assembled. It carries the fingerprints of our language, our history, our values. In that sense, what we call truth is always, in part, ours, because it reflects how we, as humans, make meaning together. The knowledge force hypothesis doesn't pretend to settle this, but it invites us to hold both possibilities. Perhaps knowledge is out there, structured in the universe like potential energy, and perhaps our cultures and consciousness are the vehicles that bring it to life. In the end, maybe the deepest insights don't come from choosing sides, but from realizing that discovery and construction are entangled. Discoveries are things that were always true, like gravity or the golden ratio. Inventions, on the other hand, are creations, like the bicycle or the smartphone. But what about scientific theories or language? Are they invented tools or just ways to describe something pre-existing? When we look at history, from Copernicus to quantum theory to machine learning, we see moments where something clicks, as if a layer of the universe peels back, and what we reveal feels inevitable, as if it was always waiting. Will artificial superintelligence and singularity be as inevitable? If knowledge is more than a byproduct of human intelligence, if it's an organizing principle that emerges and evolves non-human-centric, then perhaps discovery is its natural mode of expression. So next time you stumble on a brilliant idea, ask yourself, did I invent this, or did I just find it? This was a double-click episode from the Knowledge Force Hypothesis. Subscribe for weekly explorations, and let's keep rethinking everything.